Welcome back to the Life on Target podcast. Your host, Nathan Spearing, here to talk to you about the things I wish I knew before I started a business. So the number one thing that I feel like I wish I was told that I didn't get told till about a year and a half into business, and I may have mentioned this briefly, but that it's going to take a really long time before you feel like you know what you're doing, and that's okay. That's normal. It's easy to look at social media culture and all these hashtag entrepreneur, hashtag grind, hashtag whatever, and think, dang, it's so easy. Look at what they're doing. First of all, most of those people are fake. Most of those people are trying to pretend like they got real businesses so that they can sell you a course on how to run a business, because their business is not how to run a business. Their business is talking about how to run a business. That makes sense? It's a self-licking ice cream cone. So that's one of the reasons why I like Andy Frisella and the MFCEO / Real AF podcast, is that he actually runs a bunch of businesses, and one of them I think is in the billion-dollar business range now, and that he does the podcast for free, no advertising or anything, kind of like the Life on Target podcast, for free, spending their own money, their own time to bring the value to you and to talk about how what they're doing in real life, how it applies to you. I mean, he's kind of the inspiration of them all, even though he's killing it way more than I am in business. The point is, you and your journey in business is going to take a while. And Andy talks about how he made no more than a couple $100 a month for years in his supplement store and was sleeping in a mattress at the back of the store. And so it's easy to look at him with hundreds of thousands of square feet and tons of employees and millions of followers and things like that and think, oh man, like it is a lot of work to get people to part with their hard-earned money for things. And that you shouldn't be trying to get them to part with their money and to give it to you unless you can deliver value equal to or greater than what they parted with their money for, okay? So do you have to be able to provide value? You have to be able to provide the most exceptional, you know, this is the deal. You're not perfect, you're a human being. You're contending against the natural order of things to bring about these services, goods, etc. It's gonna take a while though. And that's why, like I talked about in the previous episode, you need to get started now. You need to do the reps when maybe you still have your job, maybe you still have something else that's bringing money in. Not do it like me, where you have two mortgage payments and five kids and you literally got, I think I was $2,400 a month of interest on different properties. And yeah, I had one of them while I was renting out for $2,000 a month, and one of them was broke down and things. So I had ways to get busy, and I moved into that one and I rented out the front. So I basically was able to cover my mortgages with rent, get to a point where you understand the sales process. You understand how hard it is to actually get customers, to keep customers, to provide that valuable service to them, and give yourself the time that it takes to learn that. And I, you know, Andy talks about it, and I've heard another person say 1,000 days to feel like you're not underwater. And that doesn't mean that it's 1,000 days to feel like you walk on water. It's 1,000 days before you feel like maybe just the edges of your lips are above the surface of the water and you can breathe now. And there's still going to be waves that wash over and you're going to be choking on it a little bit still, even at 1,000 days, but you're getting to the point where you can breathe instead of just barely getting your head above the surface and then back underwater for a couple days. So start that clock, start that learning early. Another thing that I wish I would have been told about is never underestimate how nasty people can be when money's involved. And when money is their God, And when even Christians, professing Christians, sad to say, revert to a behavior that is not Christian when it comes to money, and have, whether it's structuring a business partnership with someone else, is why I think it's if you're doing business deals with somebody that's not a Christian, you need to specify it. Even with the Christian, if you're doing business with anyone, you need to understand their character. You need to understand their motivations. You need to have a relationship that is probably bigger than the business itself, so that you know where this person stands and you know that you can get through difficulties and you know, statistical likelihood that you actually fail and lose everything from a business statistics perspective, what's going to happen when that happens. So from a partnership, specifically outlining, how is one of you going to leave this deal? How is one of you going to exit the company? A friend of mine here locally started a brewery with two teammates from Special Forces. They were all in war together. They started a brewery together, and he's the single remaining owner, because the two other guys, even though they're Special Forces guys and they put through a lot of energy, after different periods of time, each one of them decided that they wanted to do something differently. And no harm, no foul, got to move on. And he said that, you know, I don't know all the things that happened behind the scenes or whatever, but ultimately the fact that they sat down at the beginning and they had it structured and they knew the process and could come to an agreement with between the different parties on what the process was to buy the other person out and to exit. Because you don't want to have that unspecified when somebody wants to get out and then you both think that there's a different way to do it and you're squabbling over it, and then the company that could have continued to provide the value to other people has to die because y'all are fighting over the scraps from the table. So operate, like, even if it is as simple as a written on a piece of paper that you both sign, something that gives you, an attorney can advise you on this. Secondly, if you're doing work for somebody, and especially if it's their house, and you're especially if you're going to demo it and spend a ton of time figuring out and guiding them through the process, give yourself a cancellation clause or a way to, if you and a client come to disagreement mid-project, what happens when you guys are at odds and there's a lack of trust there, or a you realize that the clients are really difficult to work for and you don't know, and make sure that there's a way to break that agreement off and a clear way to do it where you remain in a position of strength. When I first started, my first big job in construction, I was just doing estimates. I'd send them an estimate. It said 50% up front, 50% at completion. They'd sign it. They'd agree to it. And, you know, as the project went on, I would start sending them estimates. I wouldn't be as exacting in the administrative side because I'm on the job and I'm working. So I'd say, hey, this is what it's going to cost. They'd say, cool, on email, whatever. Instead of, like, literally make them sign everything, make them agree to it, make them, you know, and things kind of started to fall apart. And I didn't have a way to get out. I didn't have a way to cancel. And essentially, because my contract was little to non-existent, things didn't go well for me. Even though, you know, from where I sit, I was in the right. There's no contract to back it up. There was no prescribed way to end the relationship. So things ended poorly and lawsuits started, and just the net end of the result is I lost, regardless of the rightness of the cause, regardless of who said, he said, she said, we did, I did, they did. It didn't work out well for me. And looking back on that, the main reason that it didn't, because I didn't have a contract. We didn't have something that spelled out the relationship between us, how often I was going to get paid, where it was going to, when it was going to happen. And one of the main things that I have changed with the construction side is setting up the draw schedule to where I'm never writing a check to other people, subcontractors for materials, et cetera, out of my own pocket. I am writing it with the client's money. The client gives me their money. I put it in a bank account. It sits over there. I don't use it to fund other things. I don't use it to pay me. That's their money. And I write these checks and I pay the bills for their job. And when I'm almost out, they give me more and it sits over there. And, or I know, like, for it's an insurance job or something like that, where the draws, I'm treating it like a loan, y'all. I'm getting my profit. I'm getting my overhead. I'm getting my management fees and I'm charging them interest. Now, it's not a loan on the books. It's not a bank thing. But if I'm writing $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 checks to people, and I got to wait to get that $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, I got to wait 90 days to get it, you better believe that I'm getting interest on that $50,000 that came out of my corporate account for your benefit. So understanding how to get those pay schedules and understanding, and the other side of it is that you're not going to have the confidence that you're worth it until you've done it a bunch. That's another reason why you should start now. You should start trying to sell your services. You should start going in. You should start practicing articulating your value to people and start. And because honestly, it's something that's I can still struggle with when I look at that total number that I'm about to send clients. And I'm about to, oh man, it's a lot of money. And even more recently, I went, had a discussion with some clients. I sent them the contract, said, I know what you're thinking. You're looking at that number, you're thinking, dang, it's a lot of money. And I'm not saying that it's not, but what I am saying is it's going to be amazing. We're going to make your house beautiful. This is going to be so perfect for your life. I think you're spending the money in all these different places. It's the right spot. Here's where I think you're going to be with respect to resale. Boom, 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 boom. And I don't get to pitch a almost $500,000 job like that to clients if I haven't done a $3,500 small repair. If I haven't done a $9,000 remodel of an AutoZone, two different AutoZones that I was driving an hour and a half away to spend on the weekend and working late nights because the superintendent wanted it done and having to go back and fix something that broke and ended up, you know, burning gas and burning money and making almost nothing at the end of it. You have to do those reps. You have to get that experience before you can look the client right in the eye and say, yeah, it's $418,000 because I know what it is going to cost to get this done. It's expensive. And while I'm doing this, orchestrating this thing for you, I'm going to make some money because I got five kids. I'm taking time away from them and I'm going to put my expertise, my network of people, my skill set towards something that's going to be amazing for you, and that you get that rep. Those reps in sooner rather than later, start to develop the confidence to be able to look clients in the eye and say, yep, it's a lot. And I think you should cut me that check now. So quick review, start doing it now. It's going to take you longer than expected. It's going to be harder than you expected. Make sure you articulate how partner can exit, how to, when things don't go well, break it off with the client and get those reps in, building that confidence. And I guess I probably should say in conclusion that it's worth it. Regardless, if you make no money, I guess I can't say I don't know if you make no money because I pulled it off by God's grace and things are going well. But the journey, even though it is extremely difficult, if you continue to persevere and you get past those 1,000 days and then you do another 1,000 days, which is kind of where I'm at, about to finish my second 1,000 days with the construction side, it gets better. And you can start to build a vision for something bigger than maybe one version of the company, maybe 100 versions of the company. You start to systematize things. You can start to get things humming along. You have great relationships. You have to figure out how to avoid the crazy clients before you even get the contract signed. And you get moving and you see value and you can look back and you can see projects you've accomplished for people and you've able to not be slave to just how much time you have, but as you're recording a podcast, you got people all over town working and making money for you. And you can take time away, you can be with your family, you can invest into things, you can build other people up from the margin that you've gained, and you can live your life on target, man. So get out there, start that business, start getting those reps, start failing at those things, start getting your MBA, your Hard Knocks MBA, and see where it leads. Have a good one.